Fundraising everywhere. Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Fundraising Everywhere podcast. I'm Alex Aguilis and I'm Head of Growth Marketing here at Fundraising Everywhere. And today I am really, really thrilled to be joined by Anjali Butra and Jasmine Mia from Blue State. Anjali brings 2 decades of experience in strategy and planning, having worked agency and client side. She has held digital leadership roles for Save the Children and the British Red Cross. And at Blue State, she drives key strategic projects with UN bodies and NGOs, helping them transform their funding and engagement models. For Save the Children Global, she's been helping to develop a new way of working to better balance global consistency with local empowerment. She is also devising new audience and supporter strategies for the UN Refugee Agency across Europe and APAC. Jasmine is senior strategist and has worked on insight and audience understanding models for global organizations protecting democracy and promoting sustainability initiatives. She brings 5 years' experience working at Deloitte and social impact agency Purpose in helping to create campaigns that seek to challenge and change attitudes. She helped drive the audience research and insights for the Verified campaign with the UN. And since joining Blue State, she has been helping craft audience strategies and brands for Save the Children, One Campaign, and UNICEF. Alongside English, Jasmine is a native speaker of Bengali. Jasmine, Ange, welcome. So brilliant to have you here today. And you're going to be talking to us all about Blue State's latest report on British Muslim giving behaviours. So I'm really, really excited to learn all about kind of the key findings of your report. So without further ado, I will hand over to the two of you.
Thanks, Alex. So starting off, we just want to give a bit of background as to how we got into this research. So over the past few years, something that we've been having more and more requests for from our fundraising clients was actually advice on how to authentically engage Muslim audiences and Muslim donors. And through these projects, we felt like there's a real gap in publicly available information on how we could help more charities understand this group, because it's a really big opportunity in the fundraising space. So it was important to us to represent and amplify the voices of Muslim audiences and donors as to what feedback they can offer charities, where they feel like their needs are being met and their expectations, and where they feel like more could be done. And so for us to begin this research, we thought about what are we already doing. And yearly, we run our UK giving tracker each year at Blue State. And when we were doing the research in 2022, we saw signs that suggested that Muslims in the UK are some of the most generous and engaged in civil society. But the samples had always been too small because this would be of a nationally representative population. So this year, when it came to running our tracker, we ran it with a UK-wide sample of 2010 people alongside a dedicated sample of 1,003 people who identified as Muslims to actually be able to draw some really great conclusions with some hard evidence to back it. We also wanted to supplement this with qualitative interviews. So we ran some focus groups with Muslims from an older age group and younger age group in order to dig into these issues in more depth and add some color to our findings that we found from our survey. So this summary will combine both of those inputs and what we've learned. And what we learned straight away was that Muslim donors form a huge part of overall giving in the UK. And we would love more organizations to celebrate their contributions of this community and think about how their programs can really nurture these relationships in a respectful and authentic way, which is why we've done this research and really excited to share our headline finding. So some of the findings we wanted to take you through today include how British Muslims are the most generous in the UK. We want to look at zakat giving and the potential for charity organizations. We want to show a bit more understanding for the issues that Muslim audiences care most about. And also we want to provide some insight into how secular organizations can appeal to Muslim audiences. So I'll start off with our first major finding, which was that in the last year, Muslims in the UK have overwhelmingly been the most generous, and they have actually donated more than four times as much as the average UK adult. So whereas the average mean value donated by a UK adult in the last 12 months is £165, for Muslim audiences, that was £708. And this was a huge finding for us. We also didn't expect the difference to be so huge, but was really interesting. So one of the things that we found was actually that Muslims in the UK contributed between 1.48 billion to 2.22 billion towards individual and high value giving in 2023.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
It's
yeah.
Incredible.
And I don't think, again, not something that we expected to find. So we're really surprised and led us to dig even deeper. And this stat is really strengthened by the fact that the UK average amount that's been UK average amount donated to charities has been in decline since 2023. So when in 2022, we ran this report with NatRep sample, people giving £201 versus now giving £165. So seeing that actually there's an audience where giving is increasing and does represent a large proportion of what is being given in the UK was really exciting and great for the international fundraising space. We saw that this generosity could also be seen across all income brackets, with Muslim households donating significantly more than the wider UK public in every single income bracket. So whether you're looking at the lower income bracket of people earning 15,000 to 30,000, Muslims were giving 3.7 times more than their counterparts. And that gets even more larger when you go to the higher income brackets of £150,000 or more, where Muslims were giving five times as much as the average UK person, UK adult. So yeah, some great findings. And what was really interesting to us and really struck a nerve was that that is despite UK Muslims being more concerned about their personal financial stability than the average UK adult. So as part of a report, we also asked questions about how worried people were about the affordability of basic needs, how worried they were about the affordability of lifestyle costs or the housing market. And on every single factor, we saw that UK Muslims were more worried, yet that hasn't stopped them from donating more, which we think shows just the commitment to giving and the importance of that within this faith group. Also, great news that what we saw was that this generosity looks set to continue in the next 12 months, with intentions to increase donations far outweighing those intentions to decrease them. And that's despite the economic crisis. We can really see that half of all Muslims in the UK are saying they intend to increase their giving in the next 12 months. Again, that's significantly higher levels than the UK-wide baseline, which was at 21%. So when we ask why, what was driving this, a lot of UK Muslims stated that actually it was through the lens of their own values and faith. They had a really universal basic fact that they want to give to help those in need, whoever they are, wherever they are. And they can see that need rising, as I think many of us can when we look around, which has really driven that, well, amazing donation amounts that comes from a whole community and is significantly more than what we're seeing across the UK. Now we'll pass on to Ange for the next.
Thanks very much, Jasmine. Another area we wanted to try and dig into, because clients often ask us about kind of the number of people in the UK who give zakat. So we wanted to look into that as part of the study. And we actually found that, yep, 56% of Muslim adults always donate zakat, and the majority of those do so during the month of Ramadan, as I'm sure a lot of fundraisers are very aware of. However, there was a really interesting opportunity as well that actually 27% also donate throughout the year. So actually, this means that there could be some potential opportunities to test that kind of messaging outside of Ramadan, maybe in the case of emergencies or at the appropriate times. You know, I think later we will talk about the really important thing, as with all audiences, is to do so with authenticity and not be disingenuous. So it's really important to pick your moments. But one of the things that was coming out was, yes, Ramadan will continue to be a very key period. But given the generosity that Jasmine was just talking about, that doesn't just stop in a month. It carries on. So there could be some really interesting opportunities to continue testing as long as you do so authentically. And the other, unsurprisingly, we also looked at kind of, okay, well, where are Muslim donors most likely to donate. And unsurprisingly, obviously, Islamic organisations took the lion's share, and donating directly to beneficiaries was also the second kind of biggest area. However, again, another opportunity. One in two British Muslims are open to donating their zakat to secular organisations. And this actually increases and is even higher among high-income households. So at the moment, only one in seven, 14% currently give zakat to secular organisations. However, half are open to it. And they would do so more, and we'll talk about this a bit more, if organisations did a better job at communicating the impact that they could create with their gifts. So again, there's, you know, impact has been a really key theme across the sector for years. It continues to do so. And quite rightly, donors want to know where their hard-earned and very generous gifts are going. And this is another space where, again, you know, that there are some incredibly generous donors in this community that would be really open to donating to secular organizations as long as they knew where their money was going for. And if fundraisers could like connect and engage the community in a meaningful and authentic way. And as I said, this is especially true, we found in the study, for mid-value and high-value donors, as that openness to engage with secular organisations is highest in the higher income bracket. So you can find all the details in the report. So that there's a really clear opportunity there. We also looked in the study around the key issues that compelled Muslim donors. They're incredibly generous. Where do they want to give? What motivates them? What are they interested in? And international giving is a key priority for Muslim adults in the UK at much higher levels than the rest of the population. So 85% of British Muslims donated to an international organisation in the last 12 months, compared to 48% of the UK population who donated to an international organisation in the last 12 months. So, you know, it's clear international organisations are doing an extremely good job at engaging with this community. And you can see that generosity that, you know, they're thinking across globally about where is the need, where is their impact, how can they help, which is just an amazing, amazing thing to see. Again, you know, our study showed, and then there's detail in the report you can have a look at, but our study showed that organisations, international organisations such as Islamic Relief and Muslim Aid are doing, again, a great job that gets a large bulk of donations from the community. However, Save the Children and UNICEF are also seeing, very strong openness and have this community have donated to those organisations again. So it's really interesting to see these leading secular organisations capturing the support from the Muslim community. And, you know, from our work with many other clients, that the prominence of emergencies, those brands being the first to market, having a strong brand name, investing in the brand as well, and demonstrating that credibility and impact is obviously standing them in good stead as well with the generosity of this community. So I think there's a really good opportunity to continue there. And actually, you know, there were higher levels of trust in international organisations. So, you know, 38% of the average UK population were saying that they could have trust organisations that operate internationally, whereas actually 58% of British Muslims said that they trust international organisations. They felt more confident that they were making an impact, that they were kind of well-run, they were transparent. Not to say that there isn't further work to be done. Like I was saying, at the moment, it's only one in seven actually give, but one in two would. So there's still some work to be done there, but there is a really positive base compared to kind of fellow cynics like myself. So that was really exciting.
And I think that was really nice to see, because when we do other surveys for our clients, etc., something that we hear back a lot is actually a lack of trust in organisations doing the right thing, particularly when it comes to international organisations. Yeah. When it comes to the UK public, we often see more support for local organisations that they feel like they can trust, that they can see the work being done. But actually, international organisations, that trust is really lacking, and that's something we hear back a lot. So actually finding a community who aren't carrying that cynicism was actually, yeah, again, another surprise, but a really good indication that actually this international work does have support behind it. And there is, yeah, people believe in it and the work is important and that's actually spread among the public.
So as part of the study, we did some investigation as to what were the causes that most compelled this really generous community. And so the ones that were most compelling and most important to Muslim adults in the UK were poverty and humanitarian emergencies. And however, interestingly, on the flip side, the areas where they gave less than the UK population were for health or medical research or animal welfare. So, which is especially around the health inequality space is actually quite an interesting interesting space, because as part of the study, we did ask kind of around, you know, given that this community are some of the communities that are most disproportionately affected and have quite a few health concerns, we did ask some questions around kind of how aware they were around elements such as diabetes, et cetera, and so forth. And so UK Muslims are aware their communities experience health inequalities, but they don't donate to medical or health research charities as much as the wider UK population. So again, another potential opportunity for fundraising moving forward.
Just to add, yeah, something else that was interesting from that finding was that when it came to the causes where people had donated, we saw that UK Muslims were more likely to donate to every single issue, more so than the UK average population. And the two which Ange pulled out, health or medical research and animal welfare, were actually the top places where the average UK adult gives, which was, again, like just the difference in where we're seeing UK Muslims give just is the opposite almost to where the UK population is giving. Striking to us that, yeah, those were the key places where you saw the UK population. Another interesting.
Yeah, really, really interesting. That counterpoint and that difference in the causes is a really interesting area to explore further. And of course, really importantly, I mean, supporting civilians in Gaza has been and will continue to be a really important cause that the majority of Muslim adults will donate to and will continue to do so. So that kind of goes without saying, it's such a crucial area.
Thanks, Sandra. We also want to go through a bit of our findings on how can secular organisations tap into and appeal to Muslim audiences, and how can we do it meaningfully in a way that feels respectful to the community as well. And so when we research this, we ask questions on like, what are the key considerations that Muslim adults take when deciding when to donate? And two things came out on top. And that was, the first one was that 100% of my donation goes to the program. And we'll come back to this and how we can combat this, because we know this is an issue for a lot of charities where it's an unrealistic expectation, but actually there's a way to deal with it and handle it. And so we'll get back to that. And then the second most important consideration being that the organization aligns with Islamic values and principles. And naturally, this is really important for our audience, because they want to know that where they're giving their money is aligned with their own, with the way they think, they believe, the things that are important to them. And so different ways to do this, things that we've seen our clients do. We've seen our client UNHCR. They've got 17 different fatwas to provide donors the credentials to show, right, and reassure them that their funds are in safe hands. They've reached out to the Islamic community to make sure that they've got their cosign before asking for money and from donors in that community. So I think that's one way that we've seen our clients do it, to establish that real connection with those Islamic values and show that they're doing this in a meaningful way. They're not just trying to take the donors' money, but actually they care and they're trying to make sure it's aligned with Islamic principles and the way they're the money should be spent. At first point, about the strong preference for 100% of donations going to the program, what we learned from the focus groups, actually, whilst we saw in the survey this was really important, from focus groups what we heard back was actually donors don't mind the admin cost as long as there is transparency with it. If it's a donate this and you don't know how much is going to end up going to your admin cost, that doesn't really resonate with them. But actually, if you say, right, at the end, thanks for this donation, this X percentage needs to go towards admin costs, you can either add that on or it can be a part of your donation. Having that option goes a long way to helping Muslim donors feel like they know where their money is going, and is really key to feeling transparency and feeling in control of that donation. So it's not that they expect 100% of any money they give to a charity to go to the beneficiary, ideally, in an ideal world, I think we would all want that. They do understand the admin cost that's related. It's just having that transparency around it. We've also saw that more work really needs to be done to raise awareness of secular organizations, zakat funds, to increase that giving. Awareness that secular organizations had a zakat fund was incredibly low. I think we're talking like none of the zakat funds has more than 10% awareness by the Muslim audience. And again, in the focus group, we actually showed up some stimulus where we showed secular organizations that have zakat funds, and majority of the group was shocked. They were like, well, I didn't even know they do that. Like, is that real or is it like a made up pad? And we were like, no, this is real. This is something that exists. And they were like, well, have they checked with the Islamic scholars that that is zakat compliant? I was like, yeah, they've got the credentials, they've got the stamp, but there's just no awareness of it. So we can see organizations doing a lot of work to make sure that they're meeting the needs of what a zakat fund should be compliant to. But unfortunately, there's no awareness of that to then reach those audiences to gain those donations. So there's a real jar there, and more needs to be done to really push that awareness.
And I think that connects actually to the broader themes that we've been seeing and discussing in the sector and with our clients. You know, there's a lot of really hard work going in about trying to get the donations and conversions, but awareness and increasing the awareness, in this case, the Zakat Fund, but your brand, if you look at some of the other organizations that are that Muslim donors are giving to, it's going to help amplify your fundraising. People need to be aware of what you're doing. Otherwise, they will take their very hard-earned money and donate somewhere else. So I think what was interesting to us is obviously there were some really specific themes for this community, and it was fascinating to learn more about it. But some of these themes also translated to what you're already trying to probably do in your wider programs. Just to kind of build on that.
No, completely. And something else that we thought is really important for organizations to realize is that actually zakat is just one type of charitable giving that Muslim donors give towards. Actually, 73% either donate the same value as a zakat to charity across the year, or even more than that. And that's through natural sadaqah and things like this. And so actually, that's a whole missed opportunity. And it also means that organizations are focusing their relationship with their Muslim donors just during Ramadan, just focusing on zakat, but actually they give sadaqah. And that's actually a place where Muslim donors are more open to donating as well. Something that we came across very clearly in focus groups is actually where I might be a bit more choosy with my zakat because of the more defined guidelines around donating zakat. With sadaqah, you can give it much more openly. And so naturally, they're much more open to sharing that with secular organizations. But if they're not being engaged at that level year round, it's much harder for them to know and to do that. So that's a real place where we think organizations could be doing more to continue building that relationship, rather than at one time of the year during Ramadan, expecting the donation.
100%. I think it's that ongoing kind of relationship building and that authenticity, not being disingenuous, and moving for this transactional relationship to a genuine one. I think that is going to be really critical.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to how these secular organizations can do that, when we were speaking to, through the survey and even in the focus groups, we saw that 1 in 2 Muslim adults are actually really open to secular organizations using things like Islamic terminology in their messaging to actually connect with this audience. But this does need to be thoughtfully executed. They want a genuine link between the Muslim community and the need to use Islamic language. Otherwise, there's a sense that it could be disingenuous. But if you do it properly and with a real connection to this audience and to the people you're supporting, there's an openness to actually engaging with that. And so organizations can be bolder and like tap into Islamic terminology, tap into these key giving moments, but just do it thoughtfully and meaningfully, and don't do it as something that it's very surface level, essentially. Do it in a way that you intend to make a difference. And then when we look at how can secular organizations help their Muslim donors find out about them, we saw that actually Muslim donors were much more likely to find out about charities on digital platforms, whether that's through social media or their online website or online advertisements. UK Muslims said that that was one of the key places where they found out about charities. So actually really amplifying up your comms and digital platforms, it's a great way to engage them. We also saw influencer marketing being quite big for them because they would see other Muslims online being a credible voice. And so if that message, your message said shared by other Muslims, it's a way to create a genuine link between the faith and your causes and your organization so that it can feel more aligned to their own values and beliefs. Another thing that was really important for them was the ease of donating online, which includes having a choice when making a donation. When you go to a lot of Islamic charities, you do get so much choice as to where your money is going. You feel in control over that process. And actually, this is what they'd also like to see secular organizations do, so that they can feel control, feel like they know where that impact is going directly when they make a donation. So making that easier and simpler for them to engage within that process could be a real opportunity for secular organizations.
So one of the final points we saw in the study was that actually Muslim donors seem twice as likely as the UK population to have taken action towards leaving a legacy gift. So not only are they incredibly generous, four times more generous, now they're also thinking about how they can have that impact moving onwards. So actually, they're taking actions such as, 19% of them have downloaded a free will pack from a charity compared to 9%. 20% have attended a Gift in Wills event, either physical or virtual, given what Jasmine was just saying earlier about digital channels, given to 8% of the UK population. And 18% have added a donation to a charity into their wills versus 9%. So there is this real opportunity with this generosity and all the different themes we've talked about today around being authentic, being kind of authentic and meaningful in the communications, and actually also thinking about also looking at this as an opportunity for your legacy program, but again, in a meaningful and transparent and authentic way. There were a lot of really interesting findings. We hope you found these findings as interesting to read as we did. We were super excited to do the research and were just like fascinated by some of the findings and the learnings that we had. I don't know, Jasmine, if there were any. I know you were busily doing all of the hard work on this.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And I think it's actually hopefully puts a spotlight on one of the most generous communities that I think maybe is underappreciated, and you don't always realise how willing and generous they are to giving. And so actually raising awareness for that as well has been a really nice part of this project. It's something that we kept seeing but didn't actually have the data to support. And so it's been great to actually shine a light on that and celebrate one of the many communities that make up the British public and their generosity towards these really important causes.
Absolutely. Jasmine, Ange, thank you so much. I have learned loads. I was looking at your report before we spoke, and I was kind of flicking through it as you were going through that. And it's so rich in insight and a very, very exciting piece of research, because it actually sounds, from what you were saying, this is the first piece of research of this size like this in the UK. Because what you were saying at the start of the podcast today was that there were bits and pieces, but kind of sample sizes were too small, and kind of a lot of this stuff was confirming the assumptions that you already had. But how exciting to actually have that there in black and white for then, organisations to essentially run with, which is amazing. I do have a couple of very quick questions, if you don't mind.
Of course, yeah.
Amazing, thank you. One thing that you both touched upon a few times is you talked about the importance, quite rightly, of authenticity in charities engaging British Muslims. And you did touch on this in a few places, but I would love to hear kind of like your top recommendations for charities who want to engage British Muslims. What does doing it authentically look like?
So I think one thing that is really important when trying to be authentic in this space is getting the endorsement and getting the voices, make sure you're hearing the voices of the Muslim community. So whether that comes from Islamic scholars giving you that verification, saying, right, you can do this, getting that endorsement. Or also another great way is actually workshopping, co-creating with Muslim audiences, understanding them, even this piece of research, talking to them rather than making assumptions about a whole group is a great way to actually engage and make sure what you're doing is authentic. And I think that'd be our main recommendation.
100%.
Yeah, to international organizations trying to do this.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And final question. This has been a fantastic teaser into the report, but I know there's like so many more gems in the report. Where can people get their hands on a copy?
Yeah, great question. You can find it on our website. It's all there. It's available. And we'll try and make sure there's a link with this podcast when it goes out. And we'd love to hear from you. If you've got any questions, you want to understand more, you want to just grill us a little bit on this, please drop us a line. We would absolutely love to hear from you.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And Jasmine, I know you're super, super busy. Thank you for coming and sharing a little bit more about this report here today. I know that everyone listening will be rushing to get their hands on a copy of the report itself. So yeah, all the best with like continuing this work, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fundraising Everywhere podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, why not share it with a fundraising friend? And if you would like to give us a little like or subscribe, it really helps more fundraisers like you find us. Thank you so much. See you next time.